You don't have to biologically birth children to be a mother. Now relax, okay? Please don't think that I have jumped off the ship somewhere and joined with all the deranged thinking that's going around today, because I haven't. All I'm saying is this, that a Christian woman can be a mother to a younger, less experienced, come on, woman, by teaching them and mentoring them about the ways of the Lord. So if you don't think you're a mother today, but you have mothered in that way somebody, or you don't think you're ever going to be a mother, but you can mother somebody in that way, just be happy this morning. Amen. So happy Mother's Day. Amen. Okay. I have something to admit to you this morning. Get your cameras out. And that is, I'm so ashamed. I don't have a Mother's Day message for you today. I'm sorry. Sorry. But I hope that's okay.
It's okay. No. The guy.
I thought it would be okay. All right. Mothers are great.
Amen.
Short message today. But, so, or whatever, this morning we're going to continue in our series, The Lord is My Shepherd, with part two, which is entitled, Our Guardian God. And actually, in some ways, it is a Mother's Day message, because what do mothers do the best? Huh? They guard their children. They pray for their children, okay? They watch over their children. Amen? So I guess this is sort of a Mother's Day message. So I get to do the same thing as Josh, Pastor Josh, did earlier, and that is, would you stand with me again, all right? And you're going, I did this in a Catholic church. I shouldn't have to do this now. Okay. We're going to say our Bible declaration together, and I want you today, if you just say it like you mean it. How many of you this morning understand how much this word is a staple for your life? Amen? It is just the very, you just stand on this word and watch things happen. Amen? Okay, are you ready? If you would repeat this with me, please. Hold your Bible up. Boy, I almost forgot that. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. Let's go. You may be seated. I guess I didn't have to tell you that. This could be another one of those days. I would like to, once again, if you would, don't mind, I would like to read the 23rd Psalm together. This week we'll read it out of the New American Standard Translation of the Bible, or the NASB, or as some call it, the NASB, okay? Are you ready? And you can, if you're not reading the NASB, NASB, never mind, it should be up here. Are you ready? Just so you know, the NASB is known to be the most literal translation of the Bible, okay?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. One, two, three. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love that last part. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. How many of you remember when you were younger, going to church wasn't the top thing on your list? But you know, somehow, some way, since I've gotten older, I like the idea of dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Anyway, the second promise God makes to us as our good shepherd, after the first promise is found in verse 1, where he tells us that he is our proven provider, is found in verse 2, okay, the second verse, which says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. This verse is all about supernatural protection. And Serena, would you come up and pray for the message? Gary's awful busy there. Not that ever matters before.
Father, I thank you for today. I thank you that, God, you called us here by name. Each one of us, Father, are orchestrated our footsteps, and you designated us to be in this place at this time for this message. God, thank you that we will take it to heart. You will reveal to us just exactly what we stand in need of from you today, mm-hmm. that you are our proven provider and you are our protector. God, I thank you that you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways.
Yes.
Father, they bear us up in their hands so that we won't even stub our toe against a stone.
That's right.
God, I thank you for guarding, warring, ministering messenger angels that encamp about us.
Yes,
they protect us. Your blood covers us, Father. Mm-hmm. And your name is a sure foundation for our feet to stand on. And I thank you. Speak your name, Jesus, over every family represented here,
yes,
every household. God, every member that doesn't know you, I thank you, Lord God, that you go into their hearts and reveal your truth to them. You shine light into their darkness, mm-hmm. God, and you reveal to them just the loving Savior that you are for them. Mm-hmm. God, I thank you for revealing truth to their hearts and conveying them into your marvelous, wonderful kingdom of light.
Yes,
God, we give you all the glory, we give you all the mm-hmm. honor. And we praise you forevermore.
Yes, God.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Excuse me. Would you play the video? I have a small video for you today. It's not very long, but it has to do with sheep, okay?
С этой стороны, против солнца. Давай, кто кого заболел?
We are sheep. Okay? We are sheep. All right. How many of you sitting here today would have to say that if it weren't for God guarding your life or having his hand on your life, you wouldn't be here today?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, this might surprise you, but God will provide supernatural protection for saint and sinner alike. Time would fail me to tell you about how many times in my unsaved life that if it weren't for God's intervention, in my stupid decisions, that I would not be here right now. I wouldn't have made it. How many of you are with me this morning? Amen? You know what I'm talking about. But in addition to providing for all of our needs, okay, the Lord has also vowed to be our guardian God who never sleeps nor slumbers. Let me read Psalm 121, 5 through 8 out of the Amplified to you. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand, the side not carrying a shield. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. I love that promise. Amen? He's always there. In other words, he's our guardian God, if you will, protecting us from both evil, day and night. Okay? When we go out, and when we come in, his eye is always on us, guarding us and putting a garrison around us. He's constantly, say constantly, he's constantly watching us, even if you don't particularly want him to, he's always watching. I keep thinking of the movie, was it Monsters, Inc.? What's that lady's name? I'm watching you, always watching. Okay, never mind you. Okay. Interestingly enough, in Old Testament times, God used to raise up individuals among his chosen people to serve as shepherds over Israel, okay? And although there were many who faithfully carried out their God-given assignment during Ezekiel's day, the majority of the shepherds of Israel had failed to fulfill their responsibilities. And God was quite upset about this, okay? We find his response to their lack of action in Ezekiel 34, 11 through 14. I have quite a bit of scripture for you today, so please hold on. And please remember that we are the sheep that's being talked about. Amen? Amen. Even the one that fell in the ditch. Again. Verse 11. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there will be help me, Jesus. And there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. Basically, what God was saying to the shepherds of Israel is this. He was saying, if you're not going to do the job that I called you to do, then I myself will do that job. Amen? I will do it. If you won't shepherd my people, I will shepherd my people. I want you to know that even if others fail you this morning, okay, God himself is faithful, and he will not fail you. He will protect you as he promised he will. And I'm telling you, that ought to make you shout this morning, especially when you look back on all of the times that God's hand was on your life, that God protected you from death, God protected you from terrible things. Amen? Amen. God himself will shepherd us, and his supernatural protection will enable us to lie down in green pastures, it says. Excuse me. That is a great promise, okay? I mean, what with all the stress that is going on around us and that finds its way into our life, okay? That's a great promise that he will protect us. With all this going on in the world today, with everything we see happening in the government and overseas and right here at home, he will protect us. I mean, it's a promise that I don't think we really realize, that we can lie down in green pastures. So let's look and see, if you will, when is it that sheep lie down? Because we're sheep, right? When do they lie down? I think in order to fully appreciate the gift of being able to lie down, you see, you appreciate that more as you get older anyway. But in order for us to fully appreciate that, we need to understand something about sheep, and that's this. Sheep are easily frightened and thrown into a state of panic. Okay, they're easily frightened and thrown into a state of panic. Consequently, they run from what frightens them, and they band together in large groups for protection. Because sheep feel safe in great numbers, because it's harder for a predator to attack and snag one of them out of a group than to go after a few strays, right? Also, staying together in a pack is the only protection they have against predators, period. Unless, they have a shepherd watching over them and protecting them from harm. So essentially, sheep will only lie down when four conditions are met. All right, number one, sheep must be free from fear. Can you identify with that this morning? Sheep must be free from fear. Sheep are easily excited and frightened even by non-threatening activities happening around them. The only time that a sheep will lie down is when they are free from fear. They refuse to lie down if they are afraid in any way, shape, or form. They just will not do it. Number two, sheep must be free from panicky situations. All right? Sheep are so easily panicked that if a jackrabbit suddenly jumps out from behind a bush It can cause a whole flock to stampede recklessly into danger. All right? When one sheep starts running and starts running in fright, a dozen others will bolt along with it in blind fear, not even knowing what they're running from. But they'll join them because they don't like panicky situations. If they see panic, they will panic. Number three, sheep must be free from fearful torment of flies or parasites. Sheep will not lie down when they're tormented by flies or parasites. If parasites are present or flies are buzzing around their heads and biting their necks and backs, they refuse to take rest. They refuse to lie down. Are you with me so far? Number four, sheep must be free from fear of no food. They can't be afraid that they won't get any food, okay? Or they can't be afraid of hunger. Sheep will only lie down. The only time they'll really rest is when they're free from the fear of hunger. If they are afraid they won't have enough food, they will anxiously roam about searching for sustenance to satisfy their appetite. They can even do this wandering through the fields all night long. So sheep lie down. For them to lie down, they must be free from the fear of hunger. In other words, to lie down and rest, sheep must feel they are protected from every type of fear. They're not going to lay down if they have something on their mind. They're not going to lay down if they're thinking about something that could hurt them. They're not even going to lay down if they're thinking about their next meal. Believers battle fear just like sheep battle fear. We're all just like sheep, which means we're all just too easily frightened. If you look at the promises in the Word of God, and if you look at the simple promise that says that God will protect us, okay, we shouldn't fear anything, but we do. But we do. I mean, we hear things and we look at the way things are going in the world and we get afraid. It might not manifest in, you know, yelling and jumping or running around, but we still are afraid. And when you lay down at night, what happens? If you think about those things, and if you're just concentrating on those things, you can't sleep. All right? In John 4:18, the Bible says that fear has torment. If you want to read there, you can. But just living in this present day and age, you know from firsthand experience what it feels like to be tormented by fearful thoughts and feelings. And I want you to know this morning, those are from the enemy. Amen? Hello. They're from the enemy. Maybe, and I know this happens to all of us, you've been afraid of what might happen to you in the midst of this chaotic, unpredictable world that seems to be spinning out of control. Amen? I never thought that it would be this way in my lifetime. I always said, I'm afraid for my kids, what they're going to have to go through. But I can't believe that in 2 short years, we've gone from where we were to where we are. Amen? And, you know, the truth is, our world is spinning out of control, but we have a God that doesn't spin. Amen? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Maybe you've been terrified of running out of money to pay your bills or running out of food to feed your family due to the failing economy that we're living in right now. Maybe you've been worried about things like this, that you won't be able to buy clothes or maybe that you would get fired from your job due to downsizing. Maybe you're consumed with the fear that you will never be able to retire because of the economy. You know, whatever fear that you may be facing, fear has torment with it. Okay? One of the things that fear does is it keeps you from sleep. Yes. Amen? That torment, that constant, you know, picking away at your brain, it keeps you from sleep. And it's very hard to lie down and rest when your mind is buzzing with harassing thoughts, okay, of dread and terror and fear. And even though most fears, and this is the truth, that most fears are totally illogical, they can produce these great insecurities in our minds. Are you with me this morning? And they can cause this very real inward panic that makes it impossible for us to get any rest. The truth is, and this is really, the majority of the things that we fear the most will never take place. They never will, okay? And that's how we know those things are from the enemy. Amen? it doesn't make sense. Whenever something doesn't make sense, you might as well just ascribe it to the enemy. Amen? Come on. The statistic is this. Only 2%, say 2%. Only 2% of what you worry about the most ever comes to pass. So the worrying and the minds being focused on things that, like fear and torment, it's from the enemy. And what do you have authority over? All the power of the... Come on, all the power of the enemy. Amen? Amen. You have authority over that. And that's what I'm talking about. If we would just grab a hold of what our guardian God has given to us, if we would just begin to pray what this word says, amen? Come on. If we would just begin to stand on the promises, you know, we would live a different life. But what's awesome is we have a guardian God. A guardian God. And as a member of his flock, or maybe I should say as a member of his family, he promises to supernaturally protect us from all harm. How much? All harm. That's mental harm, emotional harm, physical harm. Come on. It's harm of any kind. His presence. Now just think about this. His presence gives us such a sense of security that the Bible assures us that we can lie down and rest and not be fearful of any potential disaster looming ahead. Are you with me? But you have to know what the word says. Come on. You have to know what you can stand on. You have to know for sure that what you're doing has been given to you to do in the authority in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. In addition to all this, with God's supernatural presence abiding with us, he has also given us, his church, shepherds to help protect us and watch over our souls. I have a pastor. Amen. You have a pastor. Okay? I do. I do. It might not seem like, but I do. I have a pastor. Pastor Brown is my pastor. Okay? The Apostle Paul addressed the shepherds of the church in Ephesus at the time of his departure, saying this. He said in Acts 20, 28, and 29, Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. The only way, say the only way. The only way the flock of God's people are going to remain safe was if the shepherds in Ephesus took their job and their position seriously. Likewise, the pastors of today need to be responsible in actively watching over the flock, actively watching over the people that they have been entrusted by the Holy Spirit to shepherd. I take my job very seriously, okay? I mean, I like to joke around, but the truth is, I pray for you, okay? I don't want to see anything happen in your lives that would be detrimental to you. I don't want to see you in fear. And so I lift you up to the Lord every day, all right? I take it very seriously. And I think that as pastors, we all need to pray for you and provide for you in spiritual ways. Pray hedges when you need hedges. Pray healing when you need healing. Amen?
Amen.
Standing in the gap when you need someone to stand in the gap. But God, say, but God, even if your pastor neglects his protective care of you, God will never let up on his care of you.
Amen.
Amen? Hallelujah. Even if your pastor is messing up, amen? Even if your pastor isn't praying for you, if he isn't, you know, coming after you when you're not going to church, come on, you know? God will not let up on you because Jesus is our good shepherd. In John 10:11, Jesus said this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. What's interesting about this verse is that in the original Greek text, it quotes Jesus as saying, I am the shepherd, the good one. Okay? I am the shepherd, the good one. This was the equivalent of him saying, I am the shepherd of all shepherds. All right? The shepherd, he is my shepherd. I do have a pastor in the flesh here, you know, but Jesus is my shepherd. He's your shepherd. All right? And he's assigned me a job in between. All right? Jesus, are you with me? Okay. when Jesus said the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, the word for that is used here is the Greek word hooper, which means on behalf of. Okay? So it's all in behalf of, on behalf of you and I. It carries the idea of completeness, if you will, and it signifies that Jesus gave or invested or laid down his life on behalf of you and I. I mean, that was the reason, holding absolutely nothing back, completely. It is finished, right? When he called out, it is finished, why did he do that? Because it was completely finished, wrapped up, okay? It was all done for us. I mean, that's amazing when you think about it. Jesus was and is, all right, the supreme shepherd who went so far as to give his own life for us, his sheep. Interestingly enough, and this is what I really found interesting in this scripture, the word life used here is the Greek word psuche, all right? Say psuche. Is a term used for the mind, for the will, and for the emotion. It's where we get the words psych or psychology, all right? Normally, you would think that the word for life used here would have been the Greek word bios, okay, which describes one's physical life. Or the word zoe, you know, which we all want, the abundant life that only God can give. Instead, the Holy Spirit prompted the use of the word psuche, all right, which tells us that Jesus gave his mind, he gave his will, and he gave his emotions in his shepherding care for you and I, so that our mind would have salvation as well as our body. Come, that should get you excited this morning. Oh, I can't live for God. Yeah, you know what? Your mind is saved this morning. Amen? You know, you can say, well, I can't kill the old man. No, your mind is saved this morning. He did a complete work, not a partial work. He didn't just save your body or just save your spirit. He saved your mind. I mean, that's huge. That's, glory be to God. He saved our minds. Instead, it's important for us to realize that. I mean, after all, where does the battle take place? In the mind. Where is fear fostered? In the mind. He saves our mind. The place that we finally get peace is in our mind. This is a picture of total and complete involvement. When Jesus is saying that he's our good shepherd, he means it. He takes his responsibility seriously, all right? Very seriously. Complete involvement. Jesus all gave it all ultimately. Okay, say he gave it all. He gave it all for you and I. And of his own free will, and I want you to get this straight. You know, he laid his life down and surrendered to the will of the Father. He didn't want to do that. Do you remember the Garden of Gethsemane? He would like to have seen a way out, but he surrendered to the will of the Father. He paid the highest price to care for you and I, purchasing our freedom with his own life's blood. And still today, and that's what everybody has to really realize, all right? Still today, say still today. Still today, Jesus remains actively involved in watching over our lives, guarding our every thought and guarding our every step. I like that, amen? I like the fact that he's going to give me rest. I like the fact that he's guarding me. The Apostle Peter said this in 1 Peter 2:25. For you were like sheep going astray. That's you and I. We were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. If you can't say that this morning, if you can't say that you have returned, all right, to the shepherd and overseer of your souls, talk to me. Because there's one thing that the saved can claim that the unsaved can't, okay? And that is just simply this. He's our guardian God, amen? He's not the unsaved. He does guard over them from time to time to get them to the place where they are saved. But the promise that we have, the thing that we can take to the bank is that he will provide for all of our needs. How many? All of our needs. And he not only will do that, he will guard our coming in and our going out. That means he will guard everything, everywhere we go. That means he will guard us when we're awake, when we're asleep, when we're in trouble. Amen? When we're not in trouble, when we're in church, when we're not in church. I don't want you to Write that one down. But again, I think it is so awesome. The Greek word psuche, translated in this verse that I just said, for all you like sheep were going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Here again, we see the Greek word psuche translated here as souls, okay? Again, this pinpoints the place where we battle fear. It pinpoints the place where in the imaginations of our minds and the feelings of our emotions, we struggle. But Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, and in shedding that blood, he not only saved your soul, he saved your mind. Amen? Amen? And that is huge, because I hear so many people say, I just deal with the old man too much. You know what? I understand that, but it isn't like you cannot ever have victory because he saved your mind. Amen? Why don't you give him a hand clap this morning? Thank you for saving my mind. Thank you for saving my mind. And really, what this verse lets you and I know is this, that if we would just humble ourselves, okay, just humble ourselves and submit to Jesus and allow him to be the shepherd of our souls, okay, he will put an end to fear, okay? He will put an end to fear, enabling us to lie down and rest mentally, emotionally, and physically. Friend, the Lord is your shepherd, okay? The Lord is your good shepherd. The Lord is your guardian God who makes you lie down in green pastures. Amen. You can rest in his protective care. You can have a life that's free from all fear, but you have to live a life in this thing. Amen? You have to live a life believing and standing on what's written in this word. Amen. He is the guardian God who makes us able to lie down unafraid and rest from the cares of life. And I won't say that again until next week. All right? And that's all I have for you today, okay? Just if you're going to remember one thing, remember that he died for more than what maybe you thought he died for. He died to save your mind. Amen? Amen. And that right there is huge. In our next time together, I'm planning anyway, we're going to explore God's promise of supernatural peace, okay?